Now, you came from a court environment before. How would you contrast, for an interpreter, the difference between court interpreting and healthcare interpreting?
Well, court interpreting is different because you don't have the leave to manage the session the way you manage it in a medical setting. And court interpreting is basically the one that is managing what is being said is the attorneys, because it's a game of plain words. It's, they ask certain questions to the witness because they want to get the truth out and they want to get a certain answer. So the interpreter has to be very exact, because if you say something wrong, and even if you try to paraphrase it, it might not be what the attorney wants to, you know, it's not leading the question. It's being answered different. I don't know how to explain it, but for example, if you cannot ask for repetition, because you will have to address the judge and say, Your Honor, you know, the interpreter will like repetition. But in a court setting, I think interpreters are terrified to do that. You know, they might throw you out of the courtroom. But it's different. It's the level of register is different. You're not concerned whether your client is understanding or not. The attorney has the questions formulated because they want to hear a certain answer, and you have to say exactly what it was said, even if you notice that the witness did not understand. And it is the attorney's job to see whether they understood or not. It's different.
You're saying in court about conveying the words that were spoken, how is that different from healthcare?
In healthcare, we have the leave of, okay, managing the session, but I don't think in court it's truly understood, and I know that court interpreters are fighting for that, because you're not doing word-for-word interpretation, and you, regardless, your client has to understand the message, but that is something that is disputed. And this is something from what I remember, because it's been years that I'm not in the court, but from what I remember, interpreters saying that it's very difficult because you want to convey the message into the target language that where you are giving the message the way it's supposed to be given. But attorneys want you to say word for word because they want to make sure that this is what they said, but they don't understand how the variation of language, that things have to be, not the meaning change, but some of the words be changed. I think they play with the words, and it's not, this is not about the healthcare and well-being of the witness. This is just trying to see whether the case is gonna be for the plaintiff or the defendant, more than, you know, treating someone with your body or, it's just a different dynamics. I remember one time, it was the word, did you notice or did you see? And some of the attorneys were bilingual, and the interpreter was saying, did you see, instead of saying, did you notice? And they were arguing, there was argument over that with the judge about, well, it's because the interpreter says, did you see, but we said, did you notice? And I don't know what's the difference. I mean, if you see something, you're noticing something, right? So that, I think it's a game of words. And many times, I mean, attorneys talk, and you don't understand what they're saying, because they themselves, I don't think they know what they're saying either, you know, but they just want to fill the air with gaps or you know, people don't understand legal stuff. So, you know, sometimes they just don't know everything, and I don't know, it gets complicated, but I know what I did not work as an interpreter when I worked for the court. I was the judge's assistant, but I did that for 25 years, so I was exposed to all that, and then that's when I decided, okay, I don't want to be a court interpreter. I don't want someone to, you're basically working not for the well-being or for the patient or the witness. It's a case. Yeah.
Do you think healthcare interpreting is more fulfilling than court interpreting?
It's definitely more fulfilling, and I don't care what anybody says, but it's more difficult than court interpreting. Court interpreting is difficult because it's more technical and you have to learn that, but as a medical interpreter, someone hands and what the language comes out, you have to understand a lot of medical terminology and you have to make sure that you're saying it correctly. It is more challenging, and I was kind of glad when I met that core interpreter saying, this is so difficult. I never imagined that medical terminology was so difficult, because she was shadowing me, and we happened to do one session in the IC unit, end of life, and she saw how I was managing the conversation, because the provider was saying, well, we need to know if you're going to do full code or partial code. And I said, okay, I need you to explain to the patient, this is the interpreter, what is full code or partial code? Because I could repeat the same words, and that was like something that you say in court, but no one is going to say what is full code or limited code or whatever what they use at that moment. They have to explain it because the family doesn't know. You know, and then the full code and limited code, it turned out to be, are we going to do CPR? And then if we do survive, if the person survives, then we're going to intubate the person. And then we're going to have to connect them with all this, you know, the ventilator and the IV and possibly even a feeding tube, right? So if you just say that, they don't know what they're saying. So you have to go deep a little bit further. So it gets a little bit more complicated because you do have to make sure that they understand it. In court, you don't have to do that. You just say and that's it, you're done. It's just not as gratifying. It's a little bit, and maybe you shouldn't record this, but I don't like working with judges. They're mean. Not all of them. My last judges that I work with, they were fantastic though. Not the same thing, but about the court, but the last judges that I worked, they were really good. But I had a job that I worked for the county.
Uh-huh.
It's like, it's a secure job. You don't want to leave a job. You have benefits, you know. I could retire there and be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't happy. It wasn't a fulfilling job. And I wanted to make a difference, right? So I said, okay, let me go to Casa LA, take the program. And yes, I did learn a lot for that program, but I really didn't learn how to do the job. I learned how to do the job working in the courts because I saw interpreters in action, right? And there were times the judges would ask me to interpret, and even though we were not allowed to do it, but that's, unfortunately, that's what happened. So I took a bigger step and I said, let me learn this job. But then I stumbled upon the advertisement, and at that time it was Magnus, and the advertisements came out at community school, you know, 40-hour course, become an interpreter. I go, let me try it, and it literally changed my life. I work from home. I am employed full time. I work when I want to. I make a decent living. More than what I made at the court. Surprisingly, I thought I was going to take a pay cut, to be honest with you. But you're never going to take a pay cut if you do a good quality job, if you're professional, you're on time, and you let your performance do the talking rather than, oh, please request me. Oh, here's my name and call me. That you don't do that. You just... You someone is going to call you and someone is going to notice you with the type of work that you do. I have heard in some districts, she's a professional interpreter, because they know my quality of work. So you do your best, you prepare, and this is what I do with my students. I'm preparing you the way I prepare myself. I don't know any other way. I cannot teach you any other way. I am teaching you what I do and what has made me successful. And if you continue calling me and working with me to prepare for your sessions, like some students have, they feel confident going into the sessions. And they only have to call me once because they know what to do the next time. So if I was successful with the way I teach my class and how I teach the students to be ready, I think they will they will be, I mean, you're getting a career, a profession, but just because it's 60 hours, it doesn't mean it ends here. Is what I tell the students, it's a stepping, it's like going up to a pyramid. Right now, you're barely climbing the first step. You get certified, you climb step number two. Year number two is gonna be second step, and then third, and then second. And I told them, the only difference between you and I is that I'm step 10, but you're in step one. There's no other difference, because we're gonna keep climbing. And it doesn't end, because I'm still learning. And this is another thing that the students have to learn, that they need to learn more. That just be, you don't arrive to the class thinking that I know it all. And that's one of the biggest faults of students, that they arrive with an attitude that I know everything, and just give me what I need so I could go do my job. And the reality is kind of like I break their hearts and they realize I don't know enough. Now I'm like, who's the famous person that said that the more I know, the more I realize that I don't know enough. And that's what happens when they come to the class. They realize that, oh, I don't know enough. I still don't know enough.